Would you open your Bibles, please, to a different place? We're going to be in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, we've been going through a kind of an ad hoc study over the course of the last month or so, looking at, it's a study in the past, we've sort of called it Church God's Way. I guess that sounds a little arrogant, like we know the only way, but the basics of why we do what we do here at Calvary. And so we've looked at some of these essential points that the church is not owned by anyone except Jesus Christ himself. The church is founded on the rock of Jesus Christ, not Peter, not someone else, but on Jesus Christ. The church is powered by God's Holy Spirit, and our personal lives as Christians is powered by his Spirit. We looked at worship, the Word of God, the will of God. Last week, Pete Emery, our new missions director, led us through a study in prayer. And today we're going to look at Psalm 23 as we have communion together. So, you know, nestled in a trilogy, this is one of those psalms that probably everybody in here knows one way or another. You may have memorized it when you were a child. That doesn't mean you know it. I think a lot of us memorize things and then we don't really know even what it is. You know, familiarity breeds contempt, or if nothing else, neglect. So we can maybe know our way through the psalm, know how to say it, but what is he really trying to say? David's writing this. There are three psalms, a trilogy, Psalm 22, 23, 24. Psalm 22 is a picture, just I want to save time here, but a picture of how the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, the great shepherd who leads, feeds, protects his flock. And Psalm 24, the chief shepherd is going to return for his sheep. He's going to reward his sheep for our obedience to the great shepherd. Again, many of us have memorized this, maybe when we were young in it. I want to be careful how much I go into here, but many people in here might be familiar with the seven compound names of God. I'll give them to you in Hebrew because that's the way most of us tend to memorize them. Jehovah, if you prefer. Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh or Yireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah Nisei, Jehovah Shalom. So that's, you know, the Lord who heals, the Lord who is there or who is present, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord my banner, the Lord our peace. All of those, incidentally, all of those ideas of God are embodied in these six verses. Pretty amazing how the Holy Spirit does that. And there's a lot of questions you can ask. Not that I have all the answers to these, I don't, but the question, of course, for many people, we know that it's David who wrote it, but when did he write it? A lot of us like to look at David as, you know, strumming his little harp out, I'm not mocking him, but, you know, out with the flock, and maybe he wrote the psalm then. Maybe he did. I don't know. I tend to be with those who think he was much older when he wrote it after he saw how God had taken care of him all these years. You know, it's interesting that, you know, when you read the Word of God, the Bible never compares us to, you know, strong lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. You know, he never does that. He never compares us to wise little owls or, you know, wily foxes or swift antelopes or anything like that. You can train horses, you can train elephants, you can train dolphins, killer whales. I mean, you can train all sorts of animals. You've seen them all. If you've been to a circus, you've seen all this stuff. You can certainly train dogs. Cats ought to be able to be trained, but they're smart enough to be arrogant enough to say, "You're not telling me what to do," right? But you never really see sheep being trained. They're just not like that. You know, we call them dumb, and God compares us to dumb sheep. Not you, the second service is really who I'm talking about. But and, you know, and you'd never think of a sheep or a lamb as, you know, a guard sheep, an attack sheep, Lambo. You know, you wouldn't think of something like that, right? But and yet, that theme, you look it up for yourself sometime, but it's throughout the Bible. It's not just this psalm. It's not just a few verses in the New Testament, but throughout the Bible, we're portrayed as sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's true, you know, I mean, sheep really can be pretty dumb. They can walk around the side of the barn and then not know where they are. I mean, I've had moments like that myself. But they really can. They really are like that. So, they can be pretty dumb. So we're going to walk through. Why don't we read it first? David writes this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd." We're all shepherded by something. Every single person in here is shepherded by something, someone. I mean, it's right for us as parents to be shepherds of our children. You know, so we're shepherded by our parents, or maybe, you know, if you're in a sport or sports, you're shepherded by a coach. Those are right roles. They're not wrong roles. I mean, obviously, Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd. But so, in, you know, in terms of healthy relationships, we're to be shepherded by people like that. We're also shepherded, frankly, and increasingly so in our day, by music, by various forms of entertainment. We're shepherded by Facebook nowadays. Never would have said that 20 years ago. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I mean, and it goes on, TikTok, it just goes on and on and on. It's amazing how very few people there are who were not affected by social media in our day. I mean, very, very few. And really, that's around the world. It's not just a Western thing. It's around the world because the internet is pervasive. All these things affect our opinions, and they lead us. All these things feed us one way or another. If you're hungry, you'll eat almost anything. If you're thirsty, you'll drink almost anything. We can be so high and mighty sometimes. Say, oh, anybody who believes that, anybody who follows that, well, yeah. I'm not here to pick on anybody, but, you know, sometimes I can find myself pointing a finger and then at the same time feeling the Holy Spirit's finger in my chest going, what about you, Hessler? Well, he calls me John. But you might call me Hessler, but he calls me John. My mother used to call my father Hessler all the time. Hessler, why are you doing that? Like, that was pretty funny, I thought. Anyhow, it had nothing to do with this. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Roi. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I think most of us in here understand what he's saying, but let's just get this out of the way. Yes, we all want things. We all want certain things. That's not what he's getting at. The point is, I will not be lacking for anything. Not lacking. God takes care of my needs. He always provides for me. I mean, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Yireh. He sees to our needs. He takes care of us. Yeah, we still have to work for a living, of course. That's part of the plan. But he sees to it. He makes sure that we're taken care of. That doesn't mean we don't have hard times. It doesn't mean we won't be in low periods. It doesn't mean there aren't times where we wish there was a little bit more money at the end of the week. You know, I understand all that. But he provides for us. He says in Psalm 84, verse 11, No good thing will he withhold from those who love him. Paul says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. One of my favorites, David also wrote it, Psalm 37. He says, I was young, I think it's verse 24. Psalm 37, I was young, now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And I've had to realize over the years, That's part of the reason I think David's much older when he writes this. Because when I was younger as a Christian, I would have come to all kinds of conclusions. It doesn't mean I don't have that same problem today. But I'm more restricted now. I've learned some things, as we all have. And I've come to realize that very often, you know, if I'm lacking in some area, it's not that he's punishing me, but is he withholding something from me in order to draw me to himself? I think that's more like it sometimes. And he cares for us. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He causes me. It says he leads me. He makes me lie down. It's not like, you know, it's an arm wrestling match. You got to do it. He puts us in a full Nelson. So it's not like that kind of make. And you don't care about all the Hebrew, but the idea is that it's a causative type of verb, but the idea is he's directing there. The thing about sheep, some of you may know this, some don't, you know, especially if you've lived out west and you've learned anything about the controversies between ranchers and shepherds, and it was there hundreds of years ago. It's still the case today. Ranchers hate shepherds, and shepherds tend not to like ranchers all that much, because the animals that they care for are very different. I mean, quite obviously, one's and the other's meh, meh. I understand that difference. But the thing is that sheep will graze and eat all the grass and not say, okay, nothing here, let's move on. No, they'll just keep eating. They'll go down and find the roots. Frankly, and then after they found the roots, then they just keep burrowing in. They're going to find whatever they can, and what they get in the process are parasites and all kinds of problems. Maybe that's more information than you wanted. But and the reason ranchers, of course, hate that is that the sheep, if the sheep are left there doing that, then there's nothing for the cattle later on. And of course, from the shepherd's standpoint, he knows that he has to move them on. He has to move them to other areas. Public service announcement. If you've never read the book before, I highly recommend this book. It's not deep theology. Well, it is, but you wouldn't think so when you read it. And it's not long. It's not one of these tomes of a book, like 600 pages with two-point type. It's 140 pages. So Philip Keller actually has written, I think, like three different books, but this one, the classic one, Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It's a man who shepherded thousands of sheep over the years, and the things that he learned, it gives a lot of insight. So what the shepherd will do is, as the sheep eat in a certain grazing area, then he'll move them on. So they're not going to hurt themselves. They're not going to ruin the grazing area by eating all the roots. Okay, more information maybe than you wanted to know. But the shepherd then moves them along, move along. He'll do, and so in that regard, he causes them to leave this area and to move to another grazing area. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. Green, in other words, where there's abundance of food. There's health. The shepherd cares for our health, obviously physically, but certainly, most importantly, spiritually. He wants us to eat good food. There's so much we eat nowadays as Christians that isn't good food. There's all sorts of things that go under the banner of Christian sometimes, but it's not good food. It didn't come from the Bible. It isn't the Bible. And I'm not against podcasts or anything like that, but we have to be careful what we're eating. The shepherd is the one who will direct you in that regard, and he will move them to grazing areas where they can be safe, where they can be well fed, where they can find abundance. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep don't like turbulent water, and they sure can't stand. They don't know the difference. They'll drink it. But what they shouldn't have is the stagnant water. So the shepherd cares. I mean, most of us don't really think much about the job of a shepherd. Like, the more that you study this, the more you have to walk away with the question sometimes, why would anybody do this with sheep? Really, it's a major question. Why would anybody take so much time? I'm going to be careful how I say this in case there's a rancher in the room. But, relatively speaking, you take the cattle and just let them go, And then you drive them, to market eventually. But the sheep, on the other hand, you're constantly caring. I mean, literally constantly caring for every single one. Through the day, you're preparing the grazing areas for them. It's a ton of work. Why would anybody do that? And I think God will tell us, people who do that just love sheep. You got to love sheep to do something like that. Why would God do that with us? Because after all, we are kind of like that. We do some dumb stuff. We eat from places we never should. We drink from places we never should. We make ourselves spiritually sick, if not worse, if not otherwise, I should say. Why? Because he loves us. He loves these sheep. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I love this. He restores my soul. That word in Hebrew means to turn us around, to shuv, to turn around, to come back. It's the idea that's used throughout the scripture of repentance, revival. The only source of revival begins with repentance. I'm not talking about an awakening of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but of those who do, but have kind of drifted off in the sleep. We've all done that. We get excited about the Lord. We get saved. We're excited about him. We find ourselves in a church. Oh, I love that music. It's great. I love it. The guitars and drums. And it's great, And it's like we walk in, like people love us here. They hug us and all that. And it doesn't take long, And after a while, you're like, don't sit over there. That guy's going to hug you, Why do I have to play the same music all the time? Why don't they play what I want to hear? We go on and on. And then we find ourselves looking for another pastor. In a deeper sense, in our own lives, in our marriages, and in our homes, there are people. All of us have gone through something at some point where we begin to realize that I'm just not where I used to be. How do you get back? Repentance. It's so easy to point a finger at somebody else, but sometimes that thumping in the chest is the Holy Spirit saying, no, time to repent. It's time to restore your soul. He restores my soul. He leads me. I love this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This idea, and especially the more you study sheep, the idea of the shepherd leads the sheep. And if you're familiar with Israel and what those, the rocky crags look like in the Judean wilderness, the idea of leading sheep through, those are narrow passages of rocky crags. And how does the shepherd do it? By the way, he leads. If you notice the word, it keeps saying lead. He leads. He leads. Not driving. Again, that's ranching. Get along, little doggies. But here, he leads them. In a moment, he'll say, your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod is a weapon that the shepherd uses against the predators. The staff is what he uses to direct the sheep out of that area of danger and over into this path. The idea, he directs me, he leads me in paths of righteousness, well-worn, think of it, well-worn paths of righteousness. It's easy to talk about sheep. Let's talk about what it means to be his sheep. That he directs us, he leads us into those well-worn paths of righteousness, the paths that, Abraham walked, Joseph walked, David walked. The paths that John, Peter, Paul, the apostles walk. Huss, the Waldensians, Luther. I mean, you can just walk through it, Zwingli, all of these. Why? For his name's sake. Whose name's sake? The sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to come back. He restores my soul. He wants us to come back to those well-worn, narrow paths. And they're narrow. They're not wide. The wide path is where all the pagans are going to destruction. It's the narrow path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. What does this mean? Well, you tell me. Because it can mean a lot of things. Literally, it's a valley. Literally, the words mean a shadow. Really, literally, of the deepest darkness. Well, what's a shadow? You have to have light in order for there to be a shadow, right? So he's still present. That's why you see a shadow. No one's ever been bitten by the shadow of a dog. No one's ever been killed by the shadow of a gun. But we respond to the shadow, and we fear the shadow. He said, but I won't fear evil. It doesn't mean we don't have hard, hard times. We all go through these things. I've learned, you know, I got to tell you just true confessions over the years. Like, you know, I was kind of new, Psalm 23, but over the last year and a half or so, just personally in my own time, I've, you know, memorized the psalm, and I find myself in the middle of the night sometimes where, well, I'll save it from my own self, but, you know, you might have those times yourself, or just tough times where you can't get to sleep because you keep thinking about this, or the devil is beating you up in some way. To be able to not just recite, it's not a mantra, but to remember, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not lacking anything. The Lord's the one who leads me to the green pastures. He provides for me. He'll provide for my family. The Lord is the one who calls me back those well-worn paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he restores my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For notice how the pronouns change. Up until this point, it's been third person talking about him. Now he says you, talking about the Lord. You are with me. Remember Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? He's Jehovah Shammah. He's the God who's present with us now. I'll fear no evil. The Lord is not standing up on a cliff somewhere shouting down, you're doing good, attaboy, keep going, keep going. Nothing to fear here. That's what we do to people. He's right beside us as you go through that tough time. Whatever deep water you're in right now, whatever dark valley you're in right now, that valley of the shadow of death, like I said, you tell me what it means. It can be a job loss and the fear of bankruptcy. It can be marriage problems. It can be all sorts of things. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of what these things are, can be for any one of us, sicknesses. But he's with you. And his rod and his staff comfort. In what way? You know, that rod it was not long. And the shepherd would take a sapling, take it out by the root and shave it off so you had a ball on the end, clean it off. And as he dried off, he would use that. If there was a predator, a wolf, something like that, he would take, and he's pretty good at it. Bam! I'm not aiming at you, but you know. To hit or at least threaten that predator. And the staff, of course, was for guiding the sheep or pulling him back if he was going the wrong direction. Those are comfort things. God does that with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You can look at this a lot of different ways, and we can talk about the sheep for us, of course, this morning. Here we have communion. He prepares this table. All the things that Jesus could have left us, all the things that he could have told us. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget my miracles. Don't ever forget all these things. He leaves us bread and a cup, a picture of his broken body, what the good shepherd really has done for us. A broken body and the blood that he shed to cleanse us from our sins. You anoint my head with oil. You know, the shepherd would use the oil for a lot of different things. You know, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of problems that sheep can get themselves into. They can get themselves into this problem where they're whether they've got parasites going up their nose. If they're not careful, the shepherd's not careful, that's going to go into the brain at some point, right? The shepherd would use oil then to actually to force out those parasites. so bugs, things like that. The oil would help to, would actually, in effect, to drown, leave no oxygen. You don't care about all the science. But anyhow, so that the bugs couldn't live there on the sheep, or like parasites, like ticks, things like that. It would kill them. It would force them to pull their heads out and to drop off. Even over their coats, the wool, that they would, as they were up against one another, they would, it sounds weird, but kind of move. They were lubricated. They would slide across, you know. You know, I think, I don't know. It's what do you do in our lives? Well, I think, you know, we can get pretty bugged by things sometimes, and things tick us off. People rub you the wrong way. The oil, listen, the oil of His Holy Spirit is what changes our attitude. It really does. And how we minimize that, but that's exactly what He desires. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy. You could kind of translate that as only goodness and mercy. Think about it. Only goodness, only mercy will follow me. Now, you get the wrong picture sometimes, like follow, like come on up here. The idea really is pursue me. Goodness and mercy will pursue me. You could also translate it legitimately, hunt you. Goodness and mercy will hunt you down. Now, that's not a bad picture. To have goodness, and there's a lot of things I don't want hunting me down, but goodness and mercy, I'm okay with that. You think of wherever you are in your life right now. His goodness and mercy are hunting you down. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare the place for you, I'll also return and receive you so that you may be with me where I am. One thing I have desired of the Lord, David will write, this I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You look at the world we're in right now, whether we're looking at Chinese balloons going over the country and saying, we are in a whole new America, a whole new world than we used to be. Yeah, well, the Bible assures us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for those who love Him. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, the great Shepherd.